question later on. There have been experiments trying to distinguish between the two. But unfortunately, the fields required for non-linear effects and the precision of the instruments are not compatible. They cannot give definite results on the addressable. You were saying, in the astrophysical regime, in the astrophysical regime, yes, potentially we could distinguish between Maxwellian and non-Maxwellian. The problem with this is that we lack information. Because, let's take for example what I did with electromagnetic shift. Okay? There, we have the red shift for a particle coming from. Okay, it's not a matter, it's a simple dipole. But in principle, we can make a more elaborate model and have it modelized, let's say. Okay? And we have a definite number for what that magnetic shift due to only to the non-linear force. The problem is that from the magnetar, we don't know the frequency at which the photon is emitting. So, an experimentalist only take measure in over distance, but he measures the redshift. But inside the redshift that he measures, what is the electromagnetic part? What is the gravitational part? What is the part due to rotation? This is the point that we cannot distinguish inside the measurement. That's the big problem. Because we have definite results for the nonlinear parts, but in practice we cannot distinguish the nonlinear part from the gravitation. And therefore, there are no conclusive evidence that Euler-Heisenberg theory or Bonito theory is valid or not valid. That's simply the point. Because theoretically we can perform the computation, but experimentally we cannot distinguish between the two cases.
But that's the feature of the Bonito theory? Or?
No, this is generally the problem with nonlinear theories. Because, like I said, the regimes in which the nonlinearities give actually measurable effects are extreme. So, on Earth, when you reach those, you can reach those regimes, but in those regimes, the instruments are not accurate. In the astrophysical regime, the instruments are accurate enough, but you cannot distinguish within the measurement if your effect is due to nonlinearity or superposition.
But my question was in the sense that there is a way that I can analyze my gravitational theory to say that's Born-Winfield, that's general activity.
But this is Born-Winfield dynamics. I'm not. I know that there is a gravitational theory, but here I'm applying Born-Winfield electromagnetic theory to Einstein relativity.
I know that your second problem that you showed, the radiation in the Born interface, is a problem in progress. But I mean, your final goal is to get something like the Larmor expression for the power irradiated as being proportional to some power of the acceleration.
Yeah.
This is what you have in mind to get at the end of the day. No?
Yeah, that would be idea. Actually, what we would love to achieve would be to calculate the radiation reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, radiation.
Originally, we had much more ambitious plans because, like I said at the beginning, the Bonito part, what we can do, what we can imagine, because of Born-Winfield theory smoothing the divergence of the origin, even the radiation reaction doesn't need to be normalized. But unfortunately, we were not able to solve the problem not perturbatively. we had to make an expansion. We had found a way to actually write down the equation in a non perturbative way, because this problem, I said it three times already, has axial symmetry. So basically, you can think of it as a bidimensional problem. And an Argentinian guy named Ferraro wrote some article where they actually propose to a solution for Bonifa dynamics in each dimension. And in those, they use this one form and two form theory, and they are able actually to find a closed form in terms of forms for the field. The problem with it is that you need a seed. You need to make a guess on the one of the forms inside this expression, and if you get this expression right, you can compute the field. These seeds have been computed within the Maxwell theory, but in Cartesian coordinates, not in a regular story. We tried to move it to the regular space-time, but once we did so, the equation for the seed were too complicated to solve. And we could not perform we could solve it numerically, but numerically we did nothing. So, because actually, unfortunately, even if we succeed in computing the integral, this integral here, what happens is that we are going to have always the ejecting divergence coming from this. Because the solution, the full solution, would be this here plus what we get from this. And this thing here is obviously similar. Like, because this is a Maxwellian field. The point is that we truncated the series at the second order, essentially. If we could sum up all the series, the result should be, should be regular. But truncating the series, of course, we don't obtain what we want, a regularization of the truncation. But this is the best that we could do, because, like I pointed out at the beginning, actually, this linearity here is actually a terrible non-linearity because it comes inside the parentheses and inside the derivation, and it's a square root of the modulus of this or the field square. So,
I have a question. Curiosidade. You said that there are two main extensions of Maxwellian theory. You said non-linearity and massive photon. Yes. If we have both.
You mean massive and non-linear?
Yes. Because
yes, it's
you said that in the mass, in the electric point, we have a singularity. And if the photon was massive, we have some much singularity than we want. And then. Pode explicar melhor?
O que você quer dizer exatamente com a massa do fóton na questão da singularidade? I try to get from him and explain.
Ele está falando que no caráter não linear a gente tem uma singularidade no elétron por causa da massa dele. Ah. Falei, agora, se você junta o segundo tipo de teoria que admite um fóton massivo, você teria uma singularidade para cada parte, para cada fóton que você tivesse. Então, se você tem um plano propagando, você quantizasse, você teria mais singularidade do que a gente poderia, mas será que a gente consegue trabalhar com isso?
Você junta a massividade, o fato
a forma massivo e a não linear. Exatamente.
E como isso afeta a estrutura de
singularidade? Como é que a gente vai ter propagação? Como é que a gente vai ter interação eletromagnética se tem uma singularidade em cada fóton?
So what he says that if you combine massiveness of the photon plus non linearity, you perhaps change your structure of singularities. So he's asking himself, or he's asking to you, if you have some thoughts about how the photon, and how you, if you have singularities every time you emit a photon, how you understand the radiation of electromagnetic radiation from each other?
The question is actually more complicated than that, even, because to my knowledge, the only context within I've seen a massive photon with non-linearity is the one that I'm working on with Professor Gayel, and it comes from the breaking of fundamental symmetry of Lorentz and Suzy symmetry within the supersymmetry context. Even the interpretation of the radiation must be carefully analyzed. And actually, the collaboration is not as progressed enough for me to give you a clear answer to it. I'm sorry.
No, very good. Thanks.
Another question. Do you think that the Riemann-Gate bursts are a situation for non-linearity or not?
This is an excellent question. Because there are polarizing theory, for example, gives different. Okay, so we have an expression relation for a photon of different frequencies, and gamma burst doesn't mean measure a particular frequency. Expression relation for what is it even for regular pulsar? Expression relation for the photons. And the problem is the same that I told you before. We cannot distinguish between because you can attribute that dispersion relation also to the interstellar medium. In the interstellar medium, even if it's very rare, it affects the propagation like a medium and slows down some photons and more with respect to others according to the frequency. And therefore, you cannot distinguish between these reference. And again, you have the same problem that. But in principle, yes. In fact, during my stay here in Brazil, I found a couple of articles that are quite interesting, in which the authors compare the gamma ray burst dispersion relation to the quantum gravity dispersion relation. Of course, this is not quantum gravity, has nothing to do with what I did here. But if we could actually explain the quantum gravity effect for all the propagation of photons with the non-linearity in the gravitational field instead of quantization of the gravitational field, then we would have a comparison between the two. But this is just an idea. I cannot show you an equation to sustain my thesis. This is just my intuition.
In a simple thought, you think that when the energy increases, the possibilities of non-linearity also
increases.
This is a general thought.
In general terms, the higher the energy, the higher the probability that you can see non-linear. In fact, in terrestrial laboratories, what you do to investigate nonlinear theory is that you go very, very close to the nuclei. Nowadays there are very strong magnets, so you can try and create some very intense fields, some very localized and intense fields. But historically, the way that people try to investigate this nonlinearity is going very, very close to the nuclei. The closer you go, the stronger the effect, of course. It's just like scattering, for example. You see that the beyond the level arise, the closer you go, the faster you shoot your test card. That's exactly the same.
Okay, because if you go to high energy, it's not happening. The higher is the energy, the closest you are to the field theoretical limit, no? And quantum field theories are all non-linear. So if you are at very high energies, unavoidably, you attest matter in the limit where the matter behaves under the laws of quantum field theory. The quantum field theories are all non-linear. Quantum electrodynamics is completely non-linear. So the more fundamental level of the matter is really non-linear. So you expect non-linearity. I mean, as much as the energy is high.
So another question, general question, about the non-linearity in photonics. Photonics there's a large spectrum between just the photon and not necessarily connected with the electric charge. How do you see the possibilities of non-linearities?
I'm not an expert, I don't know how to answer this question. So, I mean, I'm not enough inside, I do not have enough knowledge of photonics to give a reasonable answer.
Ah, so, okay, Chico.
You said that when the LIOS that there is no curvature. But when you are talking about astrophysical tests, you're still talking about tests that are low curvature tests or non-curvature tests.
No, wait a second. What I said that there is no curvature when I write down the Brinder method.
Brinder method.
But if you do performance of the signal test, of course there is a curvature.
Well, you correct the metrics, so it's according to the space time.
Wait. Here, what I did is simply trying to compute the field of an accelerating particle. I mean, let's take a space in a point in the universe that is far away from any relevant gravitational field. You can approximate the space as Minkowski, and you have a particle that accelerates at the particle. If you want to apply Born-Hilbert theory within the gravitational context, of course you must take into account the metric. That is obvious. But that's not what I tried to do here. As you saw, already the Minkowskian case, the problem is mathematically complicated enough. If you add the curvature of the spacetime, I don't think that you have many choices, many chances to solve the problem. I mean, you can give it a try if you want, but I would be very happy if I could solve what in the Maxwellian case.
I just think that at high curvatures, if it were possible to solve the problem, you should, in theory, could see the difference between gravitational effects and electromagnetic effects in high curvatures scenarios.
Yes, that would be very nice. I agree.
Okay. So Luca, thank you so much. Grazie. That's infinite. Very happy about the call. So next time come back and forget Luca.